Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Nun Hey. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayardein Mafsik Lemaiser Behemo. We saw in our Mishnah a discussion concerning groups of animals that are separated from one another by a distance. Can they join to create a group of 10 in order to mechayev Maiser Behemo? Maiser Behemo, the tithe taken off from animals that are born in a given animal year between Elul and Elul, the month of Elul and the next Elul. If you have 10 births in your flock or your herd, so you separate one of them for Maiser Behemo. Let us say the animals are not huddled together, but they're at a distance from one another. So we saw already in our previous year the possibility of their joining together. Rabbi Meir says if the Yarden, which is the name of a river that's part of Eretz Yisrael, if the two groups of animals are on either side of this river, it's mafsik. In other words, the two groups do not join up to create a group of 10. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, triangles, and they're featured on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. In the Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that appears on your screen, and it is also the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we feature topic headings and structural notes from time to time. In this case, the topic heading and structural note are combined into one note that we call Nosei Mivne, and you see the triangle featured. At that point, we've also written Hesberim. The triangles introduce explanations, Beshitas Rabbi Meir. We're going to see in our Gemara of Ami, and a few lines later, Rav Chiyo Bar Abo, offering explanations that are relevant to Rabbi Meir's comment. The Omar, Rabbi Meir, who said, Shayardein Mafsik Lemaiser Behemo, that the Yardein serves as a separation between two groups of animals, preventing them from joining up. The Oid, and more, furthermore in the Gemara, there will be discussion, Be'inyan Gvulos Ve'ezorim, different boundaries and regions, Legabi Hefsik Lemaiser Behemo. These concern the issue of separation with regard to the joining together of groups of animals to form units of 10. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Ami, Lo Yishonu Elo She'ein Shom Gesher. The halacha of Rabbi Meir, that the Yarden is mafsik, that the river Yarden serves as a separation, that's only if there is no bridge. Aval Yesh Shom Gesher, if on either side of the if at the point that you have these two groups of animals, you have a bridge going over the river, Gesher Mitzarfon, the bridge enables the two groups of animals to join up. Alma Mishum Delo Mikrivon Hu. So the basis of Rabbi Meir's analysis of Rabbi Ami's analysis is that the Yarden posed a problem of lack of access. Lo Mikrivon literally means they're not close to each other, but here we emphasize the term access. The Rashi says the Lo Mikrivon She'ein Yecholim Leilech Zu Eitzel Zu. Lo ha-behemos v'lo ha-roya, with the river between them, so the behemos, the animals, nor the shepherd could get to one another. So, according to Rabbi Ami, the issue is access. Well, Meisvei, we raise an objection. You see the next few lines in a frame. This represents a Tanaic source. Hoyu lo b'shnei evrei hayarden, eilech ve'eilech. If a person had on either side of the Jordan River groups of animals, o b'shnei avtilos, or in two regions, kigon shel nemer unemori. These are names of different counties, if you will. Ein mitstarfin. The animals don't join up, even though, and Rashi emphasizes this, even though they are within a meal of each other. The Mishnah mentioned 16 meal. This is much, much closer. But they're in two different political regions or geographic locations. The Ein Tzorach Lomar Chutza La'oretz Va'oretz. And if it goes without saying that if you have, let's say, five animals in Eretz Yisrael and five animals just across the border in the area called outside of Eretz Yisrael, that they will not join up. Now, v'ha chutza la'oretz v'oretz kemokom shesh gesher domi v'katoni lo mitzdarfin. The issue of in Israel and outside of it is just a matter of being over a line. So there's access between the two areas, isn't there? And yet, even though there is access, this source says that they don't join up. The five animals outside of Israel and the five animals in Israel, even though they're right across from each other with easy access, they do not join up. So that the person, if a person owned five animals in Israel and five animals just across the border, he would not be obligated to Meiser Behema, because he doesn't have 10 animals in one place. So this presents a kasha on Rav Ami's analysis. Elo Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hainu Taimo de Rabbi Meir. The basis of Rabbi Meir is not an issue of access, but it's based on a posuk, the Omer Kra, V'hayardein Yigvoil Oisoi Lepas Kedma. That's the posuk. Hakosuv aso gvul bifnei atzmoi. The pasuk calls or defines the Yarden as a boundary, and as such, things that are on either side do not join up. A boundary is something that we could say blocks one from the other. The Gemara asks. Now you'll notice a marking that appears. We have what we fondly refer to as a volcano shape, which in effect is a trapezoid. This is used as a means here of keeping track of the give and take nature of the discussion. And we call this, on under our Mivneh heading, we call this a ma'akav, with the narrow part facing upwards. This represents questions, she'elois, and the narrow part facing down are responses, or tshuvos, answers. So the Gemara asks, if you're saying, if Reb Chiya Bar Abba is explaining Rabbi Meir's approach based on a posuk which uses the word yigvol, a boundary, elo me'ato, vatar hagvul, va'olo hagvul, this is a posuk in Sefer Yoshua, which describes the different tribes and the areas that they received in the division of the land of Israel. Hachi nami, are you going to say here too, hakosuv aso gvul bifnei atzmoi, that each tribe is considered a separate area? And if that's the case, Rashi explains, why did the source above have to resort to Oretz and Chutz La'oretz, if even within the land of Israel, the different tribal areas are considered separate areas? The Gemara answers, Shaini Hosam. The Omar Kro, Zos Tie Lochem Ha'oretz Ligvuloseo Soviv. That's a posuk that describes the land of Israel, and it's understood as follows. Kula Eretz Yisrael Gvul Echod Hi. From the posuk we just cited in Bamidbar, the posuk is saying that all of Israel is considered within one boundary. Ihochi Yardei Nami. Well, if that's the case, so isn't the Jordan River also part of Israel? It's part of. So why is it mafsik? Why does it separate? So the Gemara answers, Eretz velo Yardein. The pasuk says, Zos tia lochem ha'oretz livulosel. Now, Rashi says, Eretz ksiv bekra, Zostia Lochem Horetz, Rashi says, Ligvulosel de Oretz Khoshiv Chad Velo Gvul de Ardain. The land area, not the river, the land of Israel is considered within one border. And the emphasis on Eretz is to the exclusion of the river. The Gemara asks, Bishlamo l'Reb Chiya bar Abba, things are more understandable according to Reb Chiya bar Abba, Hainu dikotoni Yardain. Therefore, I understand Rabbi Meir's citation of Yardain. Elo the Rebbe Ami, Lisninu Lukulu Naharois. According to Rebbe Ami's approach, that the issue that Rebbe Meir's point was an issue of access, so he could have cited any of the rivers. Why did he specifically mention Yardain? Rebbe Chiya bar Abba, as you remember, he cited a pasuk which featured Yardain as a boundary. But if you're going with Rabbi Ami's approach, meaning access or lack thereof, so there was no necessity of citing specifically the Yardain. Before we go any further, we should note that to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice a kuf with a descending vertical dashed line. The kuf represents a kushya, a question, and this question lasts a number of lines. So here the Gemara now says, we just got finished saying that the question would have been focused on Rabbi Ami, but according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba also, things aren't 100%, as the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Nami, Leimo Ketanoi. Should we say that what he himself said is really the subject of a Machlokes Tanoim? And in general, it's not considered a favorable situation for an Amora, to be the subject of a Tanaic controversy. In other words, where his opinion is not unanimously accepted by the earlier Tanaic authorities. But that it often happens that we have to say that that which the Amora says fits in only according to one of several Tanoim, or one of two Tanoim. So we'll now take a look at the source that presents this as a machlokes tanoim. Ki atem oivrim es hayardein artsa kanoan. That is the pasuk, and now we darshan artsa equals eretz kanan velo hayardein eretz kanan. Divrei Rabbi Yuda ben Beseira. We should point out what Rashi comments on this ketanoi. He says, ketanoi I yardein choshuv eretz kanaan velo yafsik I lo. Is the yardein considered part of eretz kanaan? And if it is, so it won't be mafsik or not. So the first opinion says that the yardein is not eretz kanaan. So that opinion would be favorable to Reb Chiya bar Abba's position, as we saw in Rashi, because as such, then it won't. If it's not considered Eretz Yisrael, then it will be mafsik, and that's what Reb Chiya bar Abba said, that it's mafsik. However, Reb Shimon ben Yochoy Omer, Harehu Omer, Me'ever liyardein Yerecho Kedmo Mizrocha, Ma Yerechoi Eretz Kanaan, just like Yerecho or Yericho is known as the land of Israel. Eretz Kanaan, the former name of the land of Israel. Af Yardain Eretz Kanaan. So too, Yardain is considered part of Eretz Kanaan or Eretz Yisrael. And as such, as we understood in Rashi, it would not be mafsik. So we see that the classification of the Yardain as being a mafsik, whether or not it is part of Eretz Yisrael, is part of a machlokes tanoim. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading under our no say heading in the outside margin. Ma heim haktsovois shel Nahar HaYarden. What are the extremes, the boundaries of the Yarden in terms of its beginning point? Omar Rabo Barbachanon Rabbi Yochanan, Ein HaYarden Elo Mibeis Yericho Ulamato. The river is referred to as Yarden, or that is Yarden, from Yericho southwards. Lamai Hilchasa, this description that the Yarden is only from Yericho southwards, of what halachic bearing does that have? You notice we've double underlined the expressions Ilemo and later Ela. On the side of our Gemara, we've indicated under our Mivneh heading, the double underline is Shlavim, represents stages, Levarer, Mai Nafgamina Bedivrei Rabbi Yochanan. What practical bearing is there in that which Rabbi Yochanan says, the Omar Ein Yardain Ela Mibes Yericho Lamata? So the Gemara goes on, Ilemo Lenoder. If the nafgamina, the halachic ramifications of what he says, is with regard to someone who takes an oath, well, haloch achar loshon b'nei adam. In the realm of oaths, if a person vows, let us say, not to sit by the edge of the Yarden, and I have to know where he is, where he has vowed not to sit, and that is what Rabbi Yochanan is telling me, that it's from Yericho southwards, that's not really true, because when it comes to the realm of vows, we determine things based on the speech of common man, how people refer to things. And v'chol hecha dekoru le'yardein, it's arlei. Wherever it is referred to as Yarden, it will be forbidden. So that Rabbi Yochanan may say that Yarden is from Yericho southwards, but it might very well be that the masses refer to the river 20 miles north of Yericho also as Yarden. So of what practical difference does Rabbi Yochanan's point make to us? Elo lemeiser behema. His point has ramifications with regard to meiser behema. Namely, we saw above, and we saw in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, two groups of animals on either side of the Yarden will not join up. So there's an official reference to Yarden that will affect this halacha. Whereas, let's say, that particular river is found in Yericho, but it is actually a river that starts quite a bit north of Yericho and continues flowing through that area. However, since that area north of Yericho is not called, it's not called Yarden at that point, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so two groups of animals on either side of that stream would possibly be able to join up. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that bears this out. Yarden Yotze Mimoras Pamyas. The origin of the river is at that place called Moras Pamyas. Moras is a cave, it could be an underground spring that's in a place called Pamyas. The Mahalach B'yamah Shel Sifri, and it continues flowing southwards through the Yam, the Sea of Sifri, Uv'yamah Shel Tveria, and through the Tveria, the Yam of Tveria. Some would identify that as the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Tiberias. Uv'yamah Shel Sdoim, also identified as the Dead Sea, v'holech v'nofel liyam hagodol, and it continues flowing to the Great Sea. The Ein Yarden Elo Mibeis Yericho Ulamato. Here you can see in the source, in this Tanaic source, just what Rabbi Yochanan said. There's only from Yericho southwards is it labeled as Yarden. Even though the source itself indicated that the Yarden starts quite a bit north, that might be as far as what people call it. But as far as the legal Yarden with ramifications for Meiser Behemo, that's only from Yericho southwards. Rashi offers some explanation for this and says that the river above that point doesn't have significance in that it's flowing through other bodies of water, and hence its botel, there its significance is botel to these other bodies of water. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a number one over Rabbi Chiya's name, and because on the next line Rabbi Abba will offer an alternative to what is being said now. Before going on in the Gemara, though, let us take a look at the topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Shnei Deois, Eich Yoidim Shayardein Mekoro Bedon, two approaches in establishing that the Yardain's source is in the area of the tribe of Don. Don is reference here is to Don in the northern part of Israel. So the Gemara, Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, Lomo Nikra Shmo Yardain, why is that its name? She Yored Midon. You can see the four letters of Yardain has the Yud and Resh from the word Yored, and Don, the name of the tribe. It descends from Don. Omar Le Rabbi Abba Ravashi, Atun Mehosom Masnisu Law. You learn from the reference found in the name that from the name you establish or derive that the Yardain comes from the tribe of Don. Anan mehocha masninon la. We, however, come to this conclusion from another source. The pasuk says, "Vayikru loi leleshem Don b'shem Don avihem." So it's a place called Leshem that was referred to by the name Don. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Leshem Zu Pamyas. So we have Leshem associated with Don on the one hand and with Pamyas on the other hand. So Leshem is associated with both of these places, with Don and with Pamyas. The Tanya Yardain Yotze Mimoras Pamyas. And we've also been taught in a Tanaic source that the Yardain emerges from Moras Pamyas. So if you put all of this information together, you see that the Yardain, which in the source says comes from Pamyas, and we know that Pamyas is associated with Don through the fact that Leshem was associated with Don. So on the side of our Gemara, you see where the star is, we made a little equation here, and that is that Don equals Leshem, and that equals Pamyas, and that equals Yardain. So I know that Yardain comes from Don. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a series of diamonds. On the side of our Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, you can see the diamond is featured, and a note that says, under the Mivneh, Sidra Shel Zachruse De. That means, the word Zachruse means the origin of something. Mekoros or Ikoron Shel Dvorim Shonim. Different things will be mentioned, and the Gemara will be mentioning their origin. We're going to refer to the Yardain, that's a river. We're going to refer to Dam, blood. And we're going to refer to water, as in the case of rivers. Venafka mina miyadios elu. And the Gemara will also feature of what practical bearing is there for us to know these things. Omar Rav Kahana. Now in the Gemara you can see the first diamond, Zachruse diardino moras pamyas. The origin of the Yardain is from that place called moras pamyas. Heicho de Omar, if you have a person that said, lo shosino mayim mimoras pamyas, if a person said, I'm not going to drink water that's from the moras pamyas, itzarle, the Kule Yardana, the entire Yardain will be also for him to drink from it. And that is an outgrowth of our teaching that the origin of the Arden is from Moras Pamias. Therefore, if a person vowed not to drink water from Moras Pamias, and the Arden is a derivative of that place, so the Arden will be forbidden for him to drink from. Zachruse Didomo Kavdo, the source of blood is the liver. Kide Rebbe Yitzchok, and there's a practical knowledge of this point, like the teaching of Rebbe Yitzchok. The Omer Rebbe Yitzchok, Koved Shini Moyach, a liver that dissolved, that melted, Mitame Berevius. If you have a liquid, the quantity of a Revius, and you have this came from a dissolved liver that was from a dead individual, a Revius is a liquid quantity, that quantity will be Mitame, like the din of the better known din of blood coming from a dead person is Mitame Be'oihel, if you have a Revius of that blood. So our knowing that point, that blood, we know that blood is metamorphous, now that we know that the origin of blood is the kaved, so then the same will hold true with regard to a dissolved kaved. If you have a revius of that substance, it will also be metamor ba'oyo. Zachruse demayo prat. Prat is the name of a river in Bovel. The Omar Vihuda, Omar Rav. Hanoder mi mei prat. Someone who vows not to benefit from the waters of prat. Osur b'chol mei moshe ba'olam. He will be forbidden to benefit from all the waters of the world. Hechi domi. Here too we have we've used a double underline with dots in it just to distinguish it from before, but it's also an attempt to emphasize the stages, the shlavei that we have noted on the side of our Gemara, shlavei birur lehovin mi shenodar dolo lishtos mi mei poras, the mei prat. We're trying to understand this idea of someone who vowed not to drink from the waters of prat. So the Gemara asks, hechi domi. I lema the Omar, if it's so that he said, lo shosino mi mei mei de prat, I am not going to drink from the waters of prat. Well, how does that create a prohibition of all waters of the world? Mei prat hu de lo shosino, all he vowed was not to drink the waters of the river prat, hom nara achrino shosino, but from another river, he leaves open an option to drink. So what is the how is it that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says that he's osur b'chol meimos shabolam? What led to that? Elo di Omar, what the person vowed said, lo shosino mimayim de osu miprat, I'm not going to drink from the waters that come from prat. So in that vow, he isn't banning. Were disavowing just the waters of prat, but anything that comes from prat. And if you tell us that the origin of all rivers is the prat, so all rivers come from prat, so he won't be able to drink water from any river. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Kol Hanahoros Lamato Misholosh Naharos. All other rivers are below or derive from the three rivers. The three rivers are a reference to three rivers mentioned in the story of the creation, the Gihon, Pishon, and the Chidekel. The Gimel Naharos Lamato Miprat. And those rivers derive from the prat. So you have a type of branching situation where our original trunk of the rivers is prat, and from there branches three rivers, and from those branches out all the other rivers. The Gemara asks, how can you say that the prat is the origin of all waters, all river waters? V'ho ikah ein sa the medallion. We're at the top of Nun Hei Amud Beis. Is there Ein Sof are wells, springs. Are there not springs that are high up on mountains? They're higher than Prat. How can you say that they come from Prat? Omar Rav Mesharshia, Hano Sume de Prat Ninhu. The waters that one finds in springs on the top of mountains is actually also from Prat. They're called the ladders of Prat. So that you have a situation that you would probably need a hydrologist to explain the details of this, but as a result of underground water flows, the water actually flows from the Prat underground up to the tops of mountains where you'll find underground springs. But for our purposes, the Prat is the source of those springs, even though they are topographically located higher up, but because of some kind of hydraulic pressure, the water is able to flow up. Sulam is a ladder, just like one climbs a ladder, the water climbs to these heights. The Gemara asks, "V'hok siv v'hanor horavi'i hu prat?" In the story of Gan Eden in Sefer Bereishis, it describes the Prat as the fourth river, meaning it's just one of the others. So how can you say that all the rivers come from it when it's just one of the four? Omar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok Vitema, another version of the name is Rav Acho Bar Yankiv, Hu Prat, the Meikora. The Pasuk had said, the Hanar Horavi Hu Prat, the word Hu Prat really means it's the Prat, the original river. Now, what do we mean by the original river? When you look in the Psukim there in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Beis, in Posuk Yud it says V'Nohor Yotze Me Eden, a river emerged from Eden, and then three rivers were mentioned, culminating in the reference again to the Prat in Posuk Yud Daled, where it says V'Nohor Vi Hu Prat, the fourth river is the Prat, meaning it's the original river from which the other three come. So that it's not just one of four rivers. Tanya. We have a Tanaic source which also touches on the Prat. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yuval Shmoi. The name of the Prat is really Yuval. Shenemar, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, V'hoya ke'etz shosul al mayim v'al Yuval yishalach shoroshav. This Pasuk, which makes a reference to the tree ke'etz shosul al mayim, is a reference to the Eitz Hachayim, the tree of life that was in Gan Eden. And it says that it's like the tree planted on the water, the water Yuval. Hence the name of the river is Yuval. The Loma Nikro Shmo Prat. So why is it referred to by that term? So the Gemara answers, well, that's not its name, but it's a description. Shememov Porim Verovim. Let's glance at Rashi, Porim V'Rovim, Shigodel Me'elov B'loi Shum Motor. It means that this river has, the water that flows in this river is not a function of rain. It even without any rain, it will flow. And that's because it's water that is generated from within or from underground. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice diamonds, two diamonds, and they're featured on the side under our Mivneh heading. One is around the word Messiah, and the other is around the word Upliga. Messiah means support, and Pliga means contests or at odds with. Mokor Shehuva Beinyan Nahar Prat Shemetairis Oisoi Kinar She'eno Zokuk Likshamim. The source that describes the Prat as a river that doesn't need rain, Elo Shememov Noivim Mitocho, but rather its water issues forth from within. Tiur ze, this description, Mahavasiu l'Shmuel, will support something that Shmuel says, v'cholek an Rav, and will be at odds with what Rav says. So now we continue in the Gemara, Mesayale l'Shmuel, the Omar Shmuel, Naro mikifei mivrich. This supports Shmuel, who says that rivers issue forth their water from mikifei. Kifei literally are the stones, but for our purposes it would mean from the bed of the river, from the rivers, from the basic river channel itself comes forth the water, and not rain. Upliga the Rav, our having the source having described the Prat as a river whose water comes from within, as opposed to rain. This is at odds with Rav's teaching. The Omer of Ami, Omer Rav. Mitra b'marovo. If one wants to know whether rain fell in Israel, Sa'ad or Rabo, a great witness who can testify about that, Prat is the river Prat. If we look in Rashi, Sa'ad or Rabo Prat, Prat yored meretz Yisrael lebovel. The Prat starts in Eretz Yisrael and descends to Bovel. U kishe hagishomim yored meretz Yisrael. When rain falls in Israel, sahado rabo havi Prat bebovel. The great witness to that fact of the rain having fallen in Israel is the Prat in Bovel. She yordu gishomim b'marovo. It will testify, bear testimony, so to speak, that rain had fallen in Israel. It increases in its size, in its water capacity, because of the rain. In other words, its main source of water is rain water. So the source that described Prat as Memo of Porim Varovim from within is not in accordance with Rav's understanding of the Prat being a river whose source of water is primarily rain. With our markings, what we try to accomplish with our dashed underlining is the mikife under Shmuel, which indicates from within is its source of water, and we dashed underline mitra by Rav, emphasizing his point that the river, it gets its water from mitra, from the rain. Avod Shmuel, Ovid Lehu Libinse, two things. You can see we have a colon and a number one, and then a few words later a number two. The Gemara describes the father of Shmuel, who happened to have some daughters, and women have issues concerning flows of blood that render them ritually impure, render them tameis. And in order to purify themselves from that state of tumah, so they need to immerse themselves. And Rashi explains that their father, Avod Shmuel, was taking into consideration that they were sofek zavos. In order for one to achieve purity from the state of ziva, they have to immerse themselves in a live spring. That means it's a source of flowing water, other than rain water, but flowing water from a live spring. That background is important as we go ahead in the Gemara. Avod Shmuel, Ovid Lehu Lebinse, he prepared for his daughters mikveh b'yoyme Nisan. Rashi says the mikveh is a reference to a live spring that he had in his house, he had on his property, and he instructed his daughters to immerse themselves in that live spring. B'yomei Nisan is we'll call it the spring season, in the days of Nisan, which is the month in which the holiday of Pesach is celebrated, so you get a feeling it's the April area of the year. Now, in at that time of year, the bulk of the water in the rivers would have been rain water, and rain water is not capable of supplying the necessary purification for what Avur Dishmo was considering, namely the ziva status that his daughters may have experienced. So, being that the bulk of the waters in Yomei Nisan, which is at the end of the rainy season, the bulk of the waters in Yomei Nisan were from rain, and rain is not effective in providing the necessary purification. So Avud Shmuel established these mikvos for his daughters. And the mikveh here, Rashi clearly says, is a reference to live springs that he had on his property. That's one thing he did. Umaftzi b'yoyme tishrei. The Gemara goes on to explain these points. Maftzi are mats. Yomei Tishrei is the end of the summer season. At that time, they were going to the river. Why were they going to the river at that point in time? Because as being that's the end of the summer season, the most of the water that it was there from the rains has already evaporated, is not there anymore. The rains have long since gone, so the source of water, the water that one sees flowing in the river at Yomei Tishrei, is from a source of water known as live springs, and therefore they could immerse in the river. However, the river bed is full of silt and mud, and that could present a problem of when one goes into a river with a muddy riverbed, so he ends up kicking up mud, and that could end up presenting a problem known as chatzitza, an interposition on one's body when they're trying to achieve purification through immersion. So in order to prevent the silt and mud from rising as they entered the water, he prepared mats that would be placed at the bottom of the river, so that they would walk into the water at a point at which they would be able to stand on mats without having to worry about the mud being kicked up. So the Gemara now goes over the two points. Mikveh b'yoyme nisan. He insisted that his daughters immerse themselves in live springs and not in the river at the Yom Nisan, at the beginning of the spring season. Savar lo kerav. Avu Dishmuel adopts Rav's approach. The Omer of Ami Omerav, Mitra b'Marova. If you want to know whether rain fell in Israel, Sado, Rabo, Prat. The great witness to that is the water level in Prat. Meaning that when you see the Prat with lots of water in it, you know that rain has fallen there as well, so that the water in the river is from rain. And what effect does that have on Avuah de Shmuel's thinking? Well, Shema Yarbu Nodfim al Hazochalim. The Nodfim is a reference to the rainwater might be the majority over the Zochalim, over the live spring water in the river. Vahavulhu Me Gishomim Rubo. And Me Gishomim would then be the majority. And as we pointed out earlier, the girls, the daughters of Avuah de Shmuel, needed purification from a possible ziva status, and that for that megishamim would not be effective. Therefore, he had to arrange for them to immerse in the mikvos that we described before as live springs on his property. Continuing, umaftzi b'yoyme tishrei, he made these mats for his daughter's convenience in Tishrei, which is the end of the summer season. At that point, the river had water whose source was live springs, and the rainwater having long since gone. The end of the summer season is after many months of no rainfall. The water that's there is from live springs. And as we explained before, he needed the mats so as to prevent any chatzitza problems, any problems of interposition from the rising mud. Hence, the mats kept everything in place. Upliga de Shmuel ad Shmuel. The more we'll point out that within Shmuel's own opinions, we find some inconsistency. Above, Shmuel spoke about the source of the water, and he said that the river Mikife Mivrach, its water is from within, not from rain. And yet we see the Omar Shmuel Ein Hamayim Mitarin Bezochalin Elo Prat Biyomi Tishrei. The only time you can go into the river for purification, and you realize that you need to have live spring water for this purification, it's the only time it's effective is the Prat in Yomei Tishrei. But otherwise, the water in Prat will be from rain. And that's not in accordance with what Shmuel said above, that the Prat derives its water from within. And at all times, it doesn't need the rain. So that is some type of inconsistency within Shmuel, and the Gemara leaves it at that. As we go on to the new Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, and the Mishnah deals with purchased animals and their need or lack thereof of being tithed. So the Gemara itself will deal with Hamokor de Halokeach, purchased animals, Vahanitan loy bimatona, or animals given to someone as a gift, Pturus mimaiser behema. They're exempt from needing to be tithed. The Mishnah. Halokeach oshenitan loy bimatona, poter mimaiser behema. If someone was given an animal, either he purchased it or it was given to him as a gift, so it's exempt from Meiser Behema. Therefore, if a person had, let's say, 9 animals that were born in his own flock that year, and someone gave him a gift of a singular animal, the receiver here would not be chayev to tithe because he doesn't have 10 animals that are chayav in Meiser Behema. He has only 9. The one given to him as a gift, or if he had purchased it, would be exempt. The Gemara, Mino Hani Mili, from where do we know that there's an exemption for purchased animals? Omar Rav Kalyana, the Omar Kro. The Pesuk says, Bechor Bonecho Titen Li, Kein Taseh L'Shorcho, Litzonecha. Ma bonecha ein belokuch uvematona. Just like one's firstborn son is not something that he purchased or received as a gift. Af shorcha eino belokuch uvematona. So too the reference in the pasuk to one's animal is also a halacha that will not apply in the case of purchased or received as a gift. So that just like firstborn human child is something that's of your own, so too the Meiser Behema must be something that came from within your own animals. The Gemara asks, Vaha Vahai Bivachor Ksiv, but the Pasuk is referring to firstborns. It's not referring to Meiser Behema. The Gemara answers, Omar, Kro, the Pasuk says, Ta'aseh. Ta'aseh means do something, make something. Im eino inyan lebechor, delo isei ba'asiya, deme rechem kadosh. If the Pasuk cannot refer to a bechor when it deals with the animal, because an animal, a bechor is not something that's a function of your doing. It's born that way. It emerges from the womb with holiness. As it emerges, as it's born, it gains its holiness without your doing anything. So the pasuk's use of the word ta'aseh indicates that it's not referring to firstborn animals. Therefore, if it, as the Gemara says, if it's not a reference to bechor, then apply it to tenehu inyan l'maiser behema. Then apply it to the realm of Meiser Behema. And hence, that is the source of what we had said earlier. We're in the middle of a discussion, so even though we're spilling over onto Daf Nun Vav, it's to our best interest to continue reading several more lines to finish the idea. The Gemara asks, V'eimo teneu inyan l'chatas u'l'asham. Maybe the Pasuk is saying, true, it doesn't refer to firstborn animals, but maybe it's a reference to these kind of korbanos. Chatos, a sin offering, and an asham offering. And what the Pasuk would be telling me is, don't provide or don't bring a chatos or asham offering from something that, from an animal that you purchased. Maybe that's the point. The Gemara answers, Dumyo debonecha. And you'll notice that we have a double underline here, and it appears each time the same answer is given as we continue with the series of questions, which are featured on the side. By the way, the under our Mivneh heading, the triangle is featured, the Ema. This is a series, Sidra Shel She'elos, series of questions, or Hatsa'os Chilufos, alternative explanations. Ma bo ta'aseh l'lamed. What is ta'aseh coming to teach about? So, we've gone through the first one, which says that we've presented the first question that said maybe the Pasuk is telling me about Chatas and Osham not to bring them from purchased animals. So the Gemara answers, Dumyo de Bonecha, Ma Bincho She'eno Bo Al Chet, just like the reference to firstborn person is not something that's sin related. So too, the reference to the animals in that pasuk are not sin related. So I know that it's not talking about the chatos va'osham korbanos. Question: V'eimo teneu inyan le'oila u'lishlamim. Maybe the point of the pasuk is that compare Bincha to Ola and Shlomim, and the result of that would be that Ola and Shlomim are names of sacrifices, but they could not be brought from animals that one received as a gift or were purchased. So the Gemara says, no, the Pasuk's not referring to them. Dumyo de Bincha, Ma Bincha, Mechuyov V'eino Ba B'Neder Nedava. Just like one's son is something that he's obligated to deal with, a firstborn human being must be redeemed. He's considered holy until he's redeemed. So too, with regard to animals, were something that's mechuyev, that he's obligated to, and it's something that does not come as a voluntary vow offering. Let's go over this point again. What is the characteristic of one's son? Well, it's something that he's obligated to. He's obligated to redeem him, and it's not vow related. So too, the animal referred to in the pasuk when it talks about shorcha, the animal there is also something that one's mechuyev to, one is obligated to, but not something that comes as a vow. So that will exclude an oil and shlomim, which do come as vows. Someone can voluntarily obligate himself to bring an ola or shlomim. But since they are vow-related, they're not the subject of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk is comparing the animal in question to one's son. V'eimah teneu inyan le'oilas ri'a. Instead of saying that the Pasuk is referring to ma'aser behema, maybe it's referring to the ola, it's a korban that one is obligated to bring when he comes on his pilgrimage to Yerushalayim on the holidays. It's called an Oilas Re'iyah. It's part of one's obligations when he comes on Aliyas HaRegel. So maybe that's what the Pasuk is referring to, and it's telling me that you don't bring an Oilas Re'iyah from a purchased or an animal or that you bought or received as a gift. Well, no. The Gemara says, once again, Dumyo de Bincha, the animal is in the pasuk is compared to one's son. Ma bincho she'ein kavua lozman. Just like one son, the issue of a firstborn human being is not time related, not calendar related. Af shorch mitzolcho she'ein kavua lozman. So too, with regard to the shor and son mentioned in the pasuk, it's a reference to something that doesn't have a fixed calendar date, and that would be Meiser Behemah. There's no fixed calendar date for bringing Meiser Behemah. Ima bincha eno belokuach klal. Af shorch v'tzolcha eno belokuach klal. Well, if you're going to compare the animal in the pasuk to one's son, so if just like one's son, he is something that's not ever purchased, so too the animal referred to in the pasuk is something that's never purchased. Aloma, and you want to say that that's a reference to Meiser Behemah. Well, we have a question. Aloma Omar Rav Asi Omar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi says in the name of Yochanan, Lokach Asora Ubra Demei Iman. If a person bought 10 unborn animals from someone, in other words, there was someone that had pregnant cows, 10 of them. He says, I want to buy those embryos, and when they're born, they'll be mine. Kulam Nichnasim Ladir Lisasir. They will enter the corral for counting toward Meiser Behemah. Now, with our markings, you see we dashed underline Lokach and this phrase Nichnasim Lisasir. So, within the realm of Meiser Behemah, we do find a case of something purchased. It's true they were purchased when they were as yet fetuses, but they're purchased, and there is a Meiser obligation. So, if that be the case, how can you say that Meiser Behemah is the subject of this pasuk, which is paralleled to Bincha? Bincha is an obligation concerning one's firstborn son that arises, that doesn't have any association with purchases whatsoever. So it's not similar to Meiser Behemah, which does have a connection to the realm of purchases if you purchase them when they're as yet unborn. Omar Rava. Rava answers that doesn't bother us. Omar Kra, the pasuk that we started off with, features the word ta'aseh. B'shas asiyo mi'eit ha'kosuv. The pasuk, when it excludes purchased or animals received as gifts, is excluding those that you receive at a time that you could do something with them, that you could count them. Shas asiyo is a reference to the time at which you would be tithing them. As when they're as yet unborn, they're not fit to be tithed. Hence the pasuk, which the pasuk itself isn't addressing as yet unborn animals. However, when it comes to animals that are born already, so we are excluding purchased or received as gifts. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.